I apologize in advance for the audio issues in this episode.
Hey!
Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
It's going good.
It is November 2nd, and we're recording the Atari Now for October!
Atari Now for October!
So everything that we saw that we enjoyed that happened in October, news and homebrews from October for Atari and somewhat related systems as well.
Right, exactly.
To the vertical line, Generation Atari.
For example, just out of the gate, this is not related to Atari, but it kind of is. This new A1200 that's coming out from, was it Retro Games Limited next year?
I think so, and I want one.
I want one too. I think that when that A1200 comes out, it will start us on our Amiga Quest.
Amiga Quest!
Enjoy the Amiga. So that'll happen next year. And it's so affordable too. It's like, I don't know, $189 or something.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And for a full keyboard, a plug-in, is you can go to the desktop and you could use the desktop applications that came with the
A1200. Excited about it because it would be like having an Amiga that we never had and we could never afford before. Because the ST allowed us to have a computer.
And the thing is, I really would like to buy these old machines, but then the problem is, I have lots of STs that none of them work.
I have a stack of STs at my house,
and,
too.
And if I bought an Amiga 600, which is the smaller one that I wanted, it might just not work either. So
I wonder if someone will hack that A1200 to play Atari ST stuff.
I'm sure you can. Okay, so...
But let's start, anyway. So October, that was just an aside. The first piece of news from October that I saw on October 8th was that Audacity, David Crane, etc., and the Kitchen Brothers, are coming out with a new game called Rescue from Poseidon's Gate. So let's click the link here and take a look at the, I think, is the audio off now?
The audio is off, and let's play it a little bit.
This is Rescue Up Poseidon's Gate. What does it look like? You want to turn the audio on?
It's just very low. It'll record it nice. It's just low on here.
So, they obviously have a bunch of different versions like they used to have. Hey, look at this here. So, you've got this diver, an old-style diving suit going into the water, collecting fish, This is cool. I mean, this is a, you know, I mean, Matt, look at that character and imagine that being an Atari 2600.
That's graphic. That is like a Nintendo graphic. It reminds me of Captain Beeble on the Atari 8-bit, just the graphic.
Yes. I haven't seen a lot of chatter about this game, and I wonder if the problem now is that Audacity is trying to make original games in an era where people just want to see, like, old arcade games like demaked onto the 2600.
Well, I think that Audacity should keep doing what they're doing.
Oh, no, I think they should continue doing what they're doing. I hope this sells well. So is it out yet? Because it said October 22nd, but I'm trying to see if,
Unmute video. Okay, they have a video.
Yeah, let's look down and see if there is...
Available later today, it says.
Later today? Okay, so click on sale now. No, later today, but that was updated before. So buy direct from Audacity, and let's scroll down a little bit. We say click here to create an account. I create an account. I guess you can buy it. But that looks really good. I'm very excited that they continue to make games, and I can't wait to see what comes next. So let's go to our next bit of news, which is from Atari. I think it was halfway through October, Atari announced the Intellivision Sprint.
Intellivision
Sprint for $150, $149.99. This is basically an Intellivision Mini, kind of like the At Games one that came out a few years ago, right? The thing about it is that it has... It doesn't have a cartridge port, but it has a USB port so you can add games. It has two wireless controllers, And it comes with overlays for every single game. And I think there's 45 built-in games. My feeling is they realized, smartly so, that a lot of Intellivision games are impossible to play without the overlays.
Right.
And so by putting the overlays in, they are making the games playable, which is good. Unfortunately, I still think for $150, I would expect a cartridge port, because there's so many. If you go to retro game stores, Intellivision games probably get the least respect out of all games. Like, nobody wants them. There's lineups of Intellivision games. They're not that expensive. But I think if you had a cartridge port on something like this, that would change. People would, those cards would start disappearing, just like the 7800 ones and any all the rare 2600 games are not commons, are disappeared from retro game stores around here.
So the day when this first was announced, you and I, we didn't have any information about it online. We didn't put out any because we were a little disappointed. But I listened to a few different Intellivision videos and stuff, people that are just pure Intellivision, and they were like, we like it. They have the same problem. They would like to have a cartridge port. They think that the USB dongle in the back could create a cartridge reader.
Like a USB cartridge reader.
The same as I want for the Atari
peripheral, right?
400 plus of the 400, yeah. A400. I think all of these machines could have a dongle that reads cartridges. I think the Commodore 64 one can, the Atari one can, all the ones that don't have a cartridge port. You just have a dongle that reads cartridges and a universal reader that has various different plugins on it. If Atari makes that, or Retro Games Plus does, these machines become like infinitely better because of that. Although there's always going to be problems. It's a hacker tool, basically.
Yeah.
But the great thing about this is that Atari is going to sell USBs that have more games on them.
It's really interesting.
That come with more overlays.
Okay. I mean, it's so they've decided that they've moved on from cartridges to USB sticks, basically. Almost like an Evercade.
To me, an Evercading of some of these is the best way to do it. Because it's going to be hard to manufacture those Intellivision cartridges. It gets more expensive. The Atari 2700, 7800, I can see that's their core. But the other systems, like the ColecoVision, hopefully they get that. Other ones.
The problem with ColecoVision is there aren't that many original games for the ColecoVision. Most of them are light licenses, so it's hard to have.
You're right.
There aren't a lot of games that you can.
Super Baseball.
Or whatever. Sure, there are a few. I'm not saying they're not, but it's not a lot. So I agree now. Like if Intellivision guys, I'm going to disparage them. I mean, the Intellivision doesn't get a lot of love. And so, you know, the Amiga was debacle, is still sort of out there and kind of sad, for those guys. But a lot of people lost money on that too.
Right.
It's nice that Atari can do something for them. This is a good move in the right direction. I hope they put out a cartridge reader. But whatever. I am not in the market for this though. I am of the ones I remember sitting at Eric Barth's house playing Intellivision. I loved Astro Smash and stuff like that. But my fingers now are too big. Not nimble enough to press the buttons on the Intellivision controller. And it really is just a pain line
controller. I'll tell you one thing. The all controllers that have buttons on the sides.
Yeah.
Sorry. I can't play your button on the side controller. Like that's going to be the 5200. The ColecoVision and the Intellivision.
ColecoVision is a little bit about the 7800.
ColecoVision is a little bit better, but and Intellivision, they did put some firing buttons were on the keypad, but none of those buttons were as good as the red button on the Atari joystick or anything on Nintendo. Oh. It just didn't work.
By the way, I didn't mention I'm wearing my Chris Crawford hat.
Oh, you are?
Chris Crawford sent
people,
me.
People, not things.
Yeah, this is the hat Chris Crawford sent me for doing. He enjoyed the video we did about him, and so this is my new internet hat. It's the Chris Crawford hat. So anyway.
Okay, so here we go. I am going to open this package from Chris Crawford, the same Chris Crawford that we just did a episode about the enigma of Chris Crawford. Some of his stuff is back there in the back, the ones that I own anyway. And this is something that he sent because he liked the video we did about it. He said, though, it might break in transit. but it didn't. It's a people, not things, propeller hat. A people, not things, propeller hat directly from Chris Crawford. This is quite possibly the greatest day of my retro gaming computing entire life. Getting a hat from Chris Crawford. So, people, not things, from Chris Crawford. Amazing.
Okay, and so what is next, Steve?
Okay, so Atari also announced that they're releasing, they licensed three more games from Toplan. Tiger Helly was the first one they released this year, the Bob D's game.
Yeah.
So they're releasing three more games, and I looked at them. Okay, so the three games are Slap Fight, Flying Shark, and Twin Cobra. So if you go to Twin Cobra, this is like a helicopter flying game. You can watch this video here. It seems like a pretty cool arcade game. I think I remember this. So there was a little arcade. There's a little arcade in Hermosa Beach where there's a barbershop now called Time Out. And this is the era of the games that they had, like, right. Twin Cobra stuff. I remember sitting and playing this. These are really fun. The 7800 is going to be, I think is challenging for this because Tiger Helly, you know, with only 160 pixels across the screen, it makes a very, you know, like, big chunky graphics.
Looks good. I like that aesthetic. It's not going to be arcade perfect or anything like that, but I think the 7800, that's fine for me.
I mean, having these shooters, though, this is kind of what you wanted from the 7800 back then.
There weren't any.
Tons of interesting
shooters. So suddenly, it's getting great shooters.
Yeah. So this is one of them. The second one, Flying Shark, is actually a World War One biplane game, which I think is, but it's very much the same. So if you see this is like a World War One biplane game, but immediately it's very close to what we just saw. But I've always wanted to play a World War One scrolling shooter. So to me, this is going to be fun.
So Flying Shark is on the ST, there's a good version on the SC and Amiga, on the ST for sure. There's a game that there was going to be Flying Shark for the Atari 8-bit, but Atari took over after it was dropped, and they made a different game out of it, and it's kind of close, but it's not quite as good. But there is no good 7800 version.
Oh, no, not at all. So this is another scrolling shooter, but again, like, okay, you know, the 7800 is good at this, as we saw from Tiger Helly. It's just that the graphics mode is a little. Just, now the last one is Slap Fight, which the name is hilarious because it's
called Alcon. So it's Alcon is the name of the game in Japan. This is also came out on the Atari ST, and it is a brutally difficult, kind of boring game on the ST and Amiga. And it looks exactly like this and plays just like it.
It looks a bit like Xevious, kind of?
It's a bit like Xevious, yeah. But I mean,
there's no bombing. You're just shooting, right?
It's just so hard. I don't think there's any extra weapons either.
This is like a futuristic version of what we saw. So you saw three different games. You got a helicopter game, a World War One game, and kind of this futuristic thing. Okay.
All
scrolling shooters, all interesting. Should all be, you know, I mean, I'll buy all three. The next thing is Atari showed off. So this Allen One company now has a version of Gravatar Recharged.
Wow.
They've already done Asteroids and Missile Command Research. They're actual arcade games. This is from their website. But what I would say is, like, I just took my kid to Dave & Buster's for their birthday. And, you know, they're in their 20s now, all my kids. But they... you know, we spent $150 at Dave & Buster's playing games. We lasted about an hour, played mostly the little games where you win tickets. But the last thing we played was a gun game, you know, like a shooter that didn't win tickets. And he's like, "Dad, that was fantastic." And then when we came home and I got the arcade one-up Pac-Man pub table, and I showed him Rally X, and we played Rally X for like 2 hours.
Rebel Aces is a great game.
And he's like, this game is so much better than those games at Dave & Buster's. And I feel like there is a movement among the younger set that these actual arcade games from the past, or the type of game, not playing those stupid ticket.
Yeah, because ticket things are really good for little kids, but when you get older, you're like, I don't need that. I don't want that.
And so I kind of think, I like this idea that there, but I hope there's an arcade that arrives soon that is this, that's playing games, high scores, maybe they're all connected to some, you know, maybe you're connected worldwide to high scores or something, but I think this would be really, I love this idea that of the arcade coming back, so we'll see. Okay, let's just go quickly to our creator spotlight.
Creator Spotlight.
Gen X Grown Up did a few. He did a Vectrex Mini preview. He had a Atari PRGE booth tour. They did a story about Atari games hopefully reuniting with Atari. Not that it was a prediction, just like they thought it would be going to happen.
Yeah, because Warner is doing a weird thing right now with their Warner Discovery, and like, because Paramount's now been taken over by this big family, like, and Peacock, all and NBC, they're all kind of weirdly moving their streaming somewhere, their game system, it's all changing. So I think this time next year, everything's going to change with those big media companies in the U.S. Who owns what game stuff? Who owns what streaming stuff? It's all going to be done. And if Atari can reach in and get the Warner, the old Warner Atari game stuff, and even Midway too, don't quote me on that. If they could, that'd be awesome.
It'd be awesome. Okay, then from BCB Coffee Boy, another one of the creators we follow. Brian had he had one video this month where he was kind of sad that he spends all this money in Atari stuff and does like daily.
That was a short, right?
And he just doesn't get any attention from Atari. And then all of a sudden, here on 10/31, he has Tim Lapetito from Atari. He interviews him. So hopefully, that's a little bit of change for Brian.
No, I didn't. I saw. I go to Brian's channel every day on my. It's one of my things. On YouTube, I have all the recent channels. So, and I saw that Brian has a new video, and he was holding one of the small Atari game
Game Station Go.
No, the Game Station ones that are on the Nintendo and the Nintendo handheld. You know.
The Game Boy.
My hope is that someone sent him one. It may be a friend sent him one, and maybe something like that. Yeah. But he had one, okay. And if Brian finally got one of those, fantastic.
Right.
So we had Tim on this great.
But he's done a lot of stuff that he does. Obviously BCB Brian does stuff every single day, and it's kind of why we don't do Atari news that much, because Brian basically does it.
He does it a lot, yeah. And so does between Gen X Grown Up and Brian and the 7800 guys, and like there's I guess Posure sometimes does stuff. The 7800 video, they get all the stuff.
Yeah, they get all
most of the stuff's there.
But we can do a recap, because we can just talk about it at the end of the month. So Dave Farquhar, Silicon Underground, had three Atari stories in October.
Oh, wow.
The first one is about the Commodore VIC, 1311 and the Atari CX40 joysticks. This is just how Commodore ripped off the Atari joystick.
They Create Worlds. I'm just saying, They Create Worlds is right now doing the history of Commodore, and you can see why they were like this. Like, between Irving Gould and Jack Tramiel, and like the way it was just a cash cow for their weird other projects, you can see why Commodore was just like.
See, and this is the thing, like Atari, but different from Commodore. Commodore existed before Atari, right? They made and then they had calculators, and then they bought their chip company, but Atari was the first, to me, the first real Silicon Valley company. Like, you think of Atari, like, between 1980 and, like, 1984, was basically what Google or one of these companies now, where they just have irons in every fire. They're going to do telephony, and they're doing holograms and computers and video games. Like, so much really cool education stuff. Like, some of the stuff that come out of Atari at, like, the end, where they're funding all these different, like, Atari labs and education efforts, it's not cynical.
Right.
It's like they were attempting to push things forward in almost every way.
Let's go to the next one. I don't want to sound like we're anti-Commodore here, but we are.
I'm
not anti-Commodore. I love the Commodore 64 and the Amiga. I'm anti the all these people who ran these companies into the ground and were just doing it for a quick buck. That's the problem.
Anyway, Dave also has a story about the cuckoo's egg. Anyway, so Dave also had a story about what happened to Activision. He started with the cuckoo's egg, and cuckoo's egg I put in there. It's just about Atari, but it is kind of because it's one of our favorite things.
One of the seminal books.
And then he also started about what happened to Activision. So he's got a lot of interesting. Every month, Dave does like, I don't know, he tries to do it every day, but it's more like he does every 2 or 3 days. He's got a story up. Always interesting stuff. And then finally, the Retro Hour, they had the last episode I really loved. Was with Eric Simon from Thalion, who he talks about one of my favorite Atari ST games. So this game called Dragonflight was the last Atari ST game I bought and played before one of the discs went bad. And though I never finished it, and I never heard anything about it, and then they interview Eric Simon, who went on from Thalion and makes all sorts of interesting stuff, but Dragonflight was his first game. And he talks about it in a very interesting way because he's like, yeah, we thought we could, the two of us could best Ultima, like best Ultima system. He talked about it like they failed, and I don't think he did at all. I think Dragonflight's a great game for what it is. And I've been trying to get it up to play again, but it's almost impossible to play emulated. I still can't find a way to get it to work. But I would say this interview with Eric Simon from Thalion is fantastic.
What about this other one?
And then he did a 2-part interview with Roger Hechter from Atari. He went for Atari and then Sega. That's really good as well. So the Retro Hour is some great stuff.
Retro Hour is always good.
You know, this week in Retro Hour is some good stuff too, but they've mostly been focused on Amiga lately.
Yeah, they had the Amiga 1200 thing today, yesterday, which made me want to get one.
Did make me want to get one.
Yes. Okay. Well, now this is a really interesting one.
Okay.
So who else is talking about it?
Right? No one talks about this. Deadmau5, who's a EDM artist, right? I don't know how big he is. He has designed, someone in his world has designed an Atari 7800 game. It looks like, if you go to it, you'll see the picture. It looks like it is based on a hack of, let me see if you got the picture down here somewhere. It may be a video. It looks like, I don't know where it was, but it's a hack of Food Fight, it looks like. Oh, so I have an image of it, right? That was from the video. It looks like it's Food Fight, a ROM hack of Food Fight. But I'm ready to buy it. Like, I'm hoping, and no one says anything, that there's a pokey EDM song by Deadmau5, who's an Atari fan. I love that he put this on Atari 7800, which is fantastic. So I love that, and I'm ready to spend my money on that before I buy the Audacity game, just because it's different. So that comes out on November 7th, and I think it's going to be on his website. You might have to be at his event in Denver to get it, but I'm hoping they sell it online. Atari seems to be part of this, but they're not really advertising it, so I don't know. Okay, so the next thing is Atari Party. So Atari Party, this came directly from the guys who are running Atari Party. They sent us this information. We were hoping they would post it on our Reddit, but no one posted anything.
Don't worry about that. Reddit's so just there.
But Atari Party is back at Quakertown Station in Quakertown, Pennsylvania, November 22nd. So I think that's right before Thanksgiving. I think it's the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
From noon to 4. And Atari Party. Come see a variety of Atari classic consoles and computers. Atari stuff. I love the idea of the Atari Party in the mass of all sorts of information about Amiga parties and Amiga this and Amiga that. It's nice to see that there's an Atari thing going on. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that the Amiga has Atari roots and stuff.
Let's move on to homebrew for a second. So all right. I split it up by my source. So the first source is Phil San. Filippo Santa, I can't say it last name, Filippo, I'm so sorry. But he has made games for the Atari, and he does great reports on all the new news. And I try to get my homebrew news from a couple sources, and he is one of them. So the first game in the for the Atari 2600 is Castle VCS, a project to reproduce the first level of Castlevania.
Oh my gosh.
On the Atari on the 2600.
That seems impossible.
It looks really cool too. I just like dig. I like looking at that one.
That's crazy.
The next one is a game called The Song of Morris by Sun Chow the Guy. And I follow him on both itch.io. A game made
8-bit workshop.
8-bit workshop.
Wow.
And here is
this is how
playing on here.
I think Gary Kitchen said he used this when he was first trying to get back into the Atari as well.
Yeah. That's cool. That's a cool looking little game here.
It is.
The city is filled by Zhongxi vampires. A young Taoist princess stands up and fights them. Priestess stands up and fights them all or will die trying. Champ Games has a new version of Chaotic Grill. Now, Chaotic Grill is an incredible Burger Time style game.
Yeah.
I don't see a link to see a video of it here,
but you can see it on the back of the box if
you can. It's Burger Time for the Atari 2600. And it was out before, but now Champions now taking, of course, back from the Atari age, and they're producing it now. It is a great. Great Burger Time game for the Atari 2600.
That's awesome.
Champ Games also has a game called Squish'em Deluxe. Squish'em is a game for the Atari 8-bit and maybe for the Commodore 64. It's a crazy climber. Actually, it's actually quite crazy climber. Oh, not just when people said it's a crazy climber clone, and it was like Donkey Kong. No, back then when crazy climber. Like, you're going up windows, and this is one where you go up and you're going to squish spiders and stuff while you're
Well, I know what you're referring to is that there was a time when people didn't know the difference between Donkey Kong and Crazy Climber.
Right. It's just a game where you climb. Boneyard Bounce is a Halloween-themed game for the Atari 2600, and it is an 8K Super Chip game set on, and I can't see it.
Sam Hain.
It's Sam Hain, but that's not how it's pronounced in Irish. It's like, Somo.
I know.
Summon. Anyway, guide the Crypt Runner through a graveyard gauntlet on an endless journey across the boneyard by leaping between drifting coffin lids. Gather spectral wisps along the way and achieve the highest score possible.
You know what? It's so interesting to me that Atari 2600 games, now that the Atari Basic is out. I'm not saying this is made to be Atari Basic. There's lots of other tools and stuff to make Atari 2600 games. It's almost like it's a canvas for people to create their artwork.
It is. It's a cool little 8-bit pull on 8-bit canvas. On the screen now, we know. lastly, this is not a game, but I wanted to talk about the fact that the latest version of Atari Basic has been released at 1.9 with the Pixie kernel, 50 extra variables, less virtual sprite flickering, per line playfield and background colors, 60 kilobit ROMs, and more bank switching and PAL NTSC palette switching.
So you can,
all available now for Atari Basic.
In Atari Basic, this is a new
kernel, the PXE kernel.
Wow, that sounds good. I did when I was making the worst game. There's a lot of choices you have to make between kernels, and I tried to make the worst game with the simplest kernel, so it was like a game that you would make in the early Atari. But I always was enthralled by the other kernels, and like 8 sprites and all this. I just didn't want to do it. I wanted to keep it like what something like some guy hired out of college in 1976 would have made, but.
Yeah, I think that when we make games for our little project we're talking about, they're going to be Atari or something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever we need to do. The next is the Atari 8-bit. This is Phil Sands' Atari 8-bit news. The Abbott contest has come to an end. And the winner is Shrinker 4. This is a platform game. It's a cool little platform game for the Triad-Bit. Very, very well done. Very nice colors. Just really good. And this is the type of thing we want to see the Atari 8-Bit. The next game is a game called Hooks. It's a new sort of, I don't know, I could call it like a breakout style basketball game for the Atari 8-Bit. It's by Vital. It's a fun little game. It's a neat little graphics, lots of little colors on the screen, basketballs are falling. I'm sure there's no sound in it yet. Maybe there's sound, we just can't hear it.
Oh, there's a little bit of sound. Yeah, there's a little bit of sound. That reminds me of when you would pull up a good shareware game on, or type in a game in Antic, or find some shareware, not shareware, because it wasn't shareware, find some PD game on a disc from the user group. So, finally, for the Atari 8-bit computers, there's a game called Cosmic Hero 2 Prologue by Zelix for the 8-bit computers. An awesome-looking multi-way scrolling, multi-stage action game that I should be showing on the screen right now.
Is this 8-bit?
Atari 8-bit, yeah. So I don't know if you're scrolling and shooting, but like, it's really cool game. Like, this is like game. It's running on this. He has it running on the sub cart. I don't know if it has to run on a cart because it uses so much. It won't run on
this
image.
Is so synapse.
Just a really cool looking game.
This is awesome.
Yeah, Cosmic Hero 2 Prologue. This is a fantastic game.
This reminds me of the type of games, because this looks like a redefined character set.
Yeah, of course. Anyway,
look at the resolution. It's like 300 by 200.
Yeah, it's like making Commodore, finally people making Commodore 64 quality games for the Atari 8-bit when you knew they could all the time.
They just didn't do it. That's awesome.
Let's see. So there's an interesting new release, a voxel version of Minecraft.
What?
Minecraft for the Falcon. Now I don't see it running yet, but I just see that there's someone's making like a voxel version of Minecraft for the Falcon.
I wish that A1200 could run Falcon games.
It probably can.
Someone probably made this for the Amiga anyway.
Yeah. But this is really cool. I don't have a download for it up, or I can't be playing it yet, but this looks really, really cool. All right, so that's a Falcon one. Awesome. No other ST stuff that I can find this month yet, but there's a Jaguar game. So this is, we'll just call this actually ST and Jaguar, because Space Zot, which is a GFA basic game for the ST, is now being made into a Jaguar game. And someone could tell me how to make GFA basic games into Atari ST, GFA basic Atari ST games into Jaguar games. I would love to know.
I'm sure there's a way to do it. I mean, I know.
But that's a cool little game for the. And here's a little video of it playing. We'll play a little bit of this.
I mean, it's got to be. People are doing it. It's got to be pretty straightforward.
This is from Cyberman Retro.
This is fun. Picking up like.
I think I'm picking up trash.
I love this type of game.
And then you pick up a shield and
eggs and I love it. This is kind of reminiscent of something the Yak would make, but also
yes, Saberman. And this, it looks like you're shooting or anything, but it's cool. I love it.
Space Zot.
I love it.
Space Zot. That's awesome.
I wanted to mention the 7800, which we haven't mentioned yet, and this is
We didn't mention it from a homebrew standpoint.
I haven't seen a lot of 7800 games come through in a little bit, but this is interesting. This is Artie, which is Hero, the 7800, redone. So this is Hero, but it's a really interesting version of Hero.
12-color graphics there.
Looks great.
This is really nice. Who's this made by? Muddy Vision. Oh, Muddy Vision. Yeah.
Check this out.
This is what you do on the 7800.
Yeah. This is what you can do on the 7800. This is like...
yeah. I mean, this is people actually finally using 700. I mean, people have been for a while, but finally, like, making games 700 that are just
this is excellent. Really nice. Yeah.
And Hero is just one of the greatest games ever made. And the controls, like, you have so much control over, like, you get a shoot, you can do bombs. It's like, it just has everything you need. Now, if there are little extra weapons or pickups, that'd be great too. But, I mean, you don't even need it in a game in Hero. It's just, you know.
It's just a great game. That's awesome. That was my money vision.
We have one other from Saberman Retro. He had one other Atari 8-bit game. It's called Endless Bugs from Mount Ored. And let's take a look at that now. This is actually, I'm going to show the Atari Mania page because I don't want to show his video again. We're showing his video. Let's go up here. It says, the reason for this was, this is an old game that was found. So it looks a lot like Omega Race to me.
It does.
Oh, let's go over here and show it. So here's what we have. It looks like Omega Race. So there is a video on Saberman Retro. I'm not going to show the video. We'll have a link to it. You can go check it out. And let's see, on the homebrew scene, the next thing I wanted to talk about was this. And we can actually just show this one right here. This is the latest HomeSoft disc, $491.
This is for the ST?
For the Atari 8-bit. Oh. Includes Timberman, we talked about this last time, Shadows of Dimensions, Rescue, The Orleans, Maisie 2, Crombination, and Nurek 2. This is disc. Download this disc and play it later in the month. I'm going to have a video of me playing the latest HomeSoft disc.
That's awesome.
And then one last one, and you can see on here is the Antic Podcast had some news about 60 Italian text adventures being ported to various computers, and three of them are now currently available for the Atari 8-bit.
Hey, that's awesome.
So let's go here. It's the news is on Atari Tekka. Let's go to Atari Tekka. And the new adventure, this is in Spanish, so we're going to go to English. The adventures are Caribbean Treasure, Unknown Dimension, and the Wrath of Anubis.
The Wrath of Anubis sounds cool.
And they're for the Atari, but also for the ST and other computers too.
That's awesome.
So that's the end of Atari Now. Steve,
for this Atari one? Now.
Well, that's Atari Now for November, but actually October news.
Yeah, that's right. Atari Now. Into the vertical.
Into the vertical.
I don't know. Who knows what the name is?
We were children of the Silicon Revolution, an X generation conscripted to fight the console and home computer wars. A product of an analog 70s childhood, we came of digital age in the 80s, believing we could affect the world 8 bits at a time. Armed with joysticks, full stroke keyboards, Jolt Cola, and MTV haircuts, we proceeded into the vertical blank. There, we stayed up late at night, devising incantations from D&D rulebooks and beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. Video games were the match, and programming was the fuse, as the infinite possibilities of the digital world exploded into the internet age to come. We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blank.